like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. We're looking into the scriptures and we find that there's a lot of people that's not going to agree with it. They don't even read it. They don't even know what it's speaking about. But my friend, we're living close to the return of our Lord, and it's coming soon. And that them that is not looking for him, it's going to come and be destined to bring forth a wrath of God upon them. But them that are looking for him will be prayed up, ready to go up when the Lord comes and takes his children home. But I want you to understand that the scriptures is not there for just to be reading them without believing. Many people today doesn't believe what the scripture says simply because their unbelief and it's sin to them. We need to understand that it was written there for yours and my benefit, that we could be part of the kingdom of God and be called children of God by repenting. And as we read in the scriptures there, he says, to take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over and into which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. My friend, it's come to the time to worry in that we're reading there where Paul was writing there in the book of Acts, in the things of there that were in that it, after that he spoke about. That's in the 29th verse there, and the 20th chapter, he says, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you and spare not the flock. Also for your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you night and day, even with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to the Lord and to you word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which is sanctified. I have converted no man, Silas, into gold in appearance, yet ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me I have showed no man all these things. Now that are so labored, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ on how he said, more blessed is he to give than to receive." My friend, a lot of these people use these scriptures in order ways to build you up to the place to where in that you will plant your seed in their bank account, is what it amounts to them. But my friend, we've been on the preaching now for over 40 some odd years, and I've never asked anybody for anything. They've gave me things from time to time, but I'm not wealthy as some of these areas. I don't have a big cathedral to preach to thousands of people, but on the internet, we preach to many people throughout the world and throughout. The Lord said to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to baptize them in the name. Now, what's his name? His name is Jesus. In the name of the Lord, of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. His name is Jesus. But many teachers today is a false teaching that baptizing in the title Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And this is not what the scripture means. But nevertheless, as many are collecting money against that day, according to the word of God, and against that day of the end. But it also says in Revelations that they would run and throw their wealth into the holes with the bats and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. So I'd rather be just comfortable as the Lord has blessed me with my needs, just like he willed with you. If you believe and trust in him, he'll supply your needs as he said he would. And that's all it really means anything to me, is he supplied our needs. And why I get riches and wealth and money that thieves will look into you and try to take it away from you anyway. They'll kill you in one thing or another. But I'm satisfied with what God has blessed me with, and I thank God for it. A good woman, my children, my family, a dwelling place, and these things. So I'm not asking for your money, but I know that all of you is not going to agree with what I preach. But the thing of it is, I bring it forth to you to have you to flee from the wrath of God by repenting, calling upon the name of the Lord, and being born again of the water and of the Spirit, baptized in Jesus' name. But the thing of it is that the day of the Lord is at hand. You need to be prepared, not be sleeping in drunkenness and walking around in the dark. You need to be in the light of the gospel, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ and his appearance. For that day shall come as a thief in the night. And when you think that he's not going to come, that's when he's going to show up. Many people today is not expecting the Lord. They think, well, this and that and one thing or another. But let me tell you, my friend, the Lord is coming back one day as he did to start with as a child. He came to the purpose to die on Calvary's cross and bring salvation, the plan of salvation, rather, to you and I, which was come into this world a long time after he was crucified. But that blood of Jesus still will cleanse you from your sin and your unrighteousness if you're willing to repent and accept the atoning price that God paid by giving his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, for atonement of our sins. My friend, it's time that we got it right. Time you read your Bible and find out whether it's truth or not. Many people won't even believe that the Bible is the word of God because they said some good man wrote it and for us to do good. Well, the apostles and all followed the Lord, and the Jesus was a good man, but he was also God in the flesh. And he taught them to teach us what is. Paul was made an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter and the other 12 was supposed to go to the house of Israel. But Paul was dedicated by the Lord and called to him to bring this gospel to the Gentiles. And you are not being born a Jew, and anything else is Gentile. It don't make no difference where you come from, Greece or wherever. You're still a Gentile. At one time, we were wasn't even considered to be a people what we was looking at as dogs. But and when it come time for the cross of Calvary, when Jesus gave us hope, he brought it and made it possible that all whosoever will can come and drink of the water freely. And that included the Gentiles, wherein that one time we were not a people, but we were under a curse of death without any hope. But with Calvary, there where he gave his life and shed his blood, he gave us hope. For our hope was in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the material things of the world. As Peter said, all this is going to pass away with a fervent heat. My friend, it's come time that we got to believe what the Word of God says. That's why I encourage you to read the Bible. Read your Word. Believe what it says. Non-belief is sin. And if you don't believe what it says, then you are a sinner, according to the Word of God. I would like for you to read the Bible for the simple fact for your own salvation. Well, you read in there, and it will give you some notion of what you need to do in order to receive God in your life, to repent and be a part of the kingdom of God, be called the children of God. My wife's got something other here for us to read. So it's Lord Jesus is coming soon, my friend. So you need to be prepared for that day and that hour. I don't know the day or the hour, but nevertheless, you need to be prepared, watching and being prayed up, ready to go with the Lord when he comes in the clouds of glory. Here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. I want to share that with you. And, you know, we do spend a lot of time one of our broadcasts repeat scriptures and everything. And I'm going to read this, and it has the scriptures there. So if you want to take a pen or pencil or piece of paper or something and write them down, you can follow what they really mean. There's a command from God not to be lightly disregarded. It is universal, for it includes all men everywhere. That includes women. It is a solemn warning that the day is coming when every person will be judged by his personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And the pledge of its fulfillment is the matter of his resurrection, for Christ did not die in vain. Salvation is personal and individual. Jesus did not die to save society, but to save sinners. He was made in the likeness of man, that he might take the place of each one of us upon the cross and bear the penalty of our personal guilt. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made for him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The historic fact that Jesus came once in accordance with prophecy is proof that he will come again in accordance with prophecy, for both Advents are included in the same prophecy. 7 centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied that he would come, in Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Isaiah saw the two Advents in line like distant mountain peaks and could not distinguish the time interval between them. But when Jesus read his divine commission from his prophecy in the Nazarene synagogue at Nazarene, he stopped with the words, the acceptable year of the Lord, and closed the book. The day of vengeance awaits his second advent, when the world will be purged by fire. At his second advent, Christ is coming for his own, that they may escape God's judgment of sin, for our God is a consuming fire. The present interval between these two Advents is the day of grace in which we now live and choose our eternal destiny. His first Advent brought salvation to sinners. He is coming again to take out of the world those who in their lifetime obeyed God's command to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, and receive his blessed Son as their personal Savior. God's promise to believers in every age since Calvary is that 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There can never be world peace because men must first be reconciled to God before they can be reconciled to one another. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The world system is essentially evil because Satan is a prince of this world. Therefore, it is written in 1 John 2:15, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Christ is the Prince of Peace, for we are reconciled to God through the blood of the cross that covers our sin. Salvation in Christ does not come by mental assent to his teaching or acceptance of a creed, but by personal experience of his indwelling presence. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. John 3:3. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We are born into this world individually, one by one. We are likewise reborn spiritually, one by one. It is a transforming experience whereby we go to Calvary with our Lord and henceforth see life from the standpoint of the cross. In his final prayer in the garden, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus said in John 17:5, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Christ is the hope of the world in this age of grace. While he tarries and the Comforter abides for us, in Acts 4:12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. When God commands and the appointed day is sure, in which all will be judged by the relationship to Christ, the question of supreme importance for each of us is, will we be found on the victory side of the cross when Christ returns for his own? Think about it. Will you be on the victory side, or will you be on the other side? Repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late, and look up. Jesus is coming soon. Get ready. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if you would read in the Ezekiel there, where the Lord told Ezekiel he made him a watchman on the wall, and if he warned the people and they taken heed and was and be born again, then they would escape what would have come and death by being cast into hell. But, and their blood would be, you know, they wouldn't be condemned, in other words. But if he didn't warn them, his blood would be on his hands. That was Ezekiel. Today, I'm not Ezekiel, but I'm trying to warn you to flee from the wrath to come, because God is going to come one of these days, and he's going to pour out his wrath upon the sinner and the ungodly, and it's going to be a terrible time. We got to understand that God is right and we're wrong. The just was given for the unjust. And I don't expect everybody to agree with everything I say or do. I don't require men to do that, as I've heard some people to do. But I do believe that if you be obedient to the scriptures, that you be pleasing to God, that wherein that he will accept you as one of his children. That's all what I'm trying to get over to you, that it's not me. I can't save you. The president can't save you. The pope can't save you. No man. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came and died on Calvary's cross to save you from your sins. And that's the only hope we have. But the day is going to come that we're in, that if you have not been born again, it's going to come up on you, and the wrath of God will be poured out upon you as the sinners and the ungodly. Listen to what Joel had to say. And he said in the second chapter, he says, first verse, he said, blow ye trumpet in Zion, and sound of alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of cloudiness and a thick darkness. And as the morning spreads over the mountains, a great people, strong. He's talking about the locusts is there that come into Eve. But listen, my friend, we come to the time that we're in, that we need revival to come forth. And you mentioned it to some of the places that they call themselves churches, but God's only got one church, and that's the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. And you're born into this church. You don't join it by shaking hands or put your name on the book to where they can call you every time and they want some money for something or other. But my friend, it's born into it. It's a gift that God gave to us. He said, if any man would have thirst, let him come and drink of the waters freely. It's no charge there. God paid yours and my sin debt there at Calvary with his life and his blood. It still holds true today. And if you go and obey what the scripture says, my friend, you're a candidate for the kingdom of God. You got to repent, though. You got to be godly sorry for your sins. You can't just raise your hand and say, God, come into my life and walk on the same old road. Because a broad way and a wide gate is a road of destruction. A straight way and a narrow gate is a road into righteousness. So you're going to follow one of the two. I would suggest that you get on the straight way by calling upon the name of the Lord and repenting. That Jesus is coming soon, and you're either going to be ready or you'll be left behind. If you read the book there about Noah building the ark, he built on it for 120 years, and he told the people it was going to rain. Well, it never had rained before, so they didn't believe him. They made fun of him and remarked in one thing or another. But when the ark was finished and everything was prepared to do, then God spoke to Noah, said, in the ark. He said, Noah, come into the ark. See, he didn't say go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. And Jesus is our ark of safety for salvation. His name is the only name given among men whereby that we can be saved. Noah went into the ark with all of his family, 8 souls, and everything that God had told him to put in there, it was there. And God was in the ark there. It was a type of the rapture, might want to say, that when the door stayed open for 7 days, if I understand it right, for the day of opportunity or for the grace of God. My friend, we're living in the grace of God right now today, but we're living in the late Laodicean church age and the last church that John wrote back in Revelation. Lukewarm, not considering anything. But he said, the scripture said, I'd rather you to be hot or cold, because if you lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. In other words, you try to drink lukewarm stuff and it's not pleasant. I usually spit it out myself because it's not a pleasant thing. It either needs to be cold or hot. My friend, it's come to the time that when we're looking into this world situation around and about us, and if you read the signs, God puts signs out there for us to know. Like on the road signs that you see, stop, yield, and so many miles to such and such, and so many this town limit and everything. If you don't read the signs, my friend, you're liable to run off on the dead end of a road somewhere or another and have a big, bad wreck. So pay attention to the signs on the road. But most of all, look into the Word of God and pay attention to the signs that God gave us about His near coming. The apostles wrote about it. Jesus told them. So, my friend, it's not a time that we should be slack in knowing what the signs are saying. We need to read the signs and see. We see that the scripture teaches that there'll be perilous times. We've spoke to that. It'd be times that we're in that there's trouble going to be, such as was never since the world has been, since man's been on the face of the earth. My friend, these things are happening around and about us. We're seeing chaos happening around and different nations around. All this here stuff is happening as a sign to you and I that the Lord is coming soon. And He is. He's prepared everything. I do believe that all of that He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe everything is prepared, but the opportunity of the grace of God is still waiting upon all that whosoever will, and they would come in. But many people is not seeing it. The church is preaching another Jesus. The church has got lukewarm, and it's not really concerned. It's not preaching about the end time or the destruction that's going to come upon this world. My friend, I'm trying to tell you, we need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when He comes, and them that's left behind is going to suffer a lot more than you're going to suffer in this world today. And He said, through great much tribulations we enter into the kingdom of God. So you have problems. I have problems, and nobody does. It is all pure and clean that doesn't have some kind of a problem. Sometimes you look and to see that people are so wicked in everything, you can tell by the way they act and the way they do and things like that. And they seem to be doing a wrong good. Well, that seems to be, but the thing of it is, my friend, if they continue in their sins that the grace of God may abound, it ain't gonna work, my friend. When they continue in the sins And when the Lord comes and takes his bride out, and then the things that starts happening, really big time troubles and everything, they're going to suffer the wrath of God, and that ain't going to be pleasant. My friend, it's come to the time that the only way that you can escape the things that's come upon this world after Jesus comes and takes his bride out is to repent. Be ready to go with him when he comes for his bride. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind. Those that was left behind from the flood, the flood carried them away. There's no doubt that they weren't some praying and going on in the high places, but it didn't do them any good because they were, the flood carried them away. And we look around and we see that the things, my friend, they found shark's teeth all in different places where there was no water ever. It come because of those that are in the flood. All this here stuff has come now is God's sign to let you see and know that there is a God that has charge over everything. And he is the one that's going to come back and take charge of everything. And he's going to put all the adversaries down. He's going to put sin and corruption and all them that follow in after the things of the world and everything. He's going to cast them into hell, which is the second death. You need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, because he's coming soon. He's coming, and when he comes, you need to be ready. You need to watch and pray and seek after the kingdom of God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body, giving honor and praise unto him, because he's King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no other name given among man. As I said, no other man can save you. I can't save you. I can't forgive you of your sins like Jesus did. He died for that purpose. The just for the unjust. He was just, but we were unjust. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. When Adam disobeyed God for that one commandment, not partake of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden of good and evil, well, he sold, gave the devil a deed to the world at that time. So he's the prince of the world. And if you follow after the things of this world, you follow after the prince of the power of air. But my friend, if you follow after righteousness, being born again of the water and the spirit, when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, then you can be prepared to go with him. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind. So it comes to the time to where you need to look into the word of God, find what he has to say. And therefore, you can know by these things and the signs you see him, the signs he's gave us, you'll know if you look about. Bible speaks about perilous times. We look about and you'll see these things coming, just like a road sign out on the road. It lets you know a bad curve up ahead or this or that or one thing or another. It lets you know that there's something you need to pay attention to. You need to pay attention to these, my friend, but if you're going down the road blind at a high speed, not paying no attention to the sign, you're going to run into trouble. Yeah, speeding and everything going to get you a speed ticket or a big wreck and get you killed and take down. A lot of people disobeying the rules of the road as well as the rules of the God's commandments is going to run into destruction, my friend, somewhere or another. Police give them a big ticket, or they'll have an accident and get them killed or either seriously hurt, and along with others involved in it. My friend, Jesus has made a way. God sent his only begotten son into this world to die. God manifested in the flesh, come into this world to die for you and I. He didn't have to, but he did, because he loved that which he created in his own image. He's created the world, and he put Adam there to tend to a garden. But he failed when he disobeyed God that one thing. My friends, sometimes we listen to other people that will lead you off in the wrong direction, as Eve did Adam. She was there at the tree, and the devil tempted her there, and the Satan come in the form of a snake, and therefore they come to the place there, and he said, tempted her there of it, and it was pleasant to look at, then this and that, and she partook of it, my friend, and she thought she would become like God herself. Well, she did, but knowing bad from evil, that's what it was all about. But she disobeyed. She was the first one in transgression. But when Adam seen it there, well, maybe he said, well, I don't want to live without her, so I'll eat and drink, die too. But they didn't die, my friend. They lived for 700 years. But I want you to know they died spiritually. And they come to the place of where if you don't accept that spiritual water, the Spirit of God, without my Spirit, saith the Lord, you are none of mine. As when they told the scribes and the Pharisees there, when they come and asked him, wanting to find out who he was and why he done this and what this and one thing or another. And he's plainly told them, he said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. God came into this world, manifested in the flesh, and he was called Jesus. No other name given among men whereby you can be saved but at the name of Jesus. That's why he came into this world to die for you and I, to purchase us there with his own life and shed blood, to forgive us of our sins, to where we become children of God. That time has come to where the wrath of God is going to be poured out. He's getting sick and tired of this old world being corrupted like it is and getting worser all the time. It's come to the time to where he's going to soon appear in the clouds of glory. And them that are prayed up, packed up, ready to go up, is going to meet him in the air. The dead in Christ to rise first, as Paul said, which I believe this. When the dead and rise first, and them which remain to be alive, you or I, one could be in that time to remain to be alive. But he said we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll meet them that come out of the graves in the air, and there we shall forever be with the Lord. But if you miss out on the catching away of the bride of the Christ, my friend, you're going to have to suffer a whole lot of stuff, no telling what. And the old man of sin comes and demands that you take a mark, or you can't buy or sell, then you if you take it, you're doomed, truly doomed for hell. There's no hope for you. But if you don't take it, you can't buy anything or sell anything. You can't get groceries, everything. What you going to do? You're going to need to have your bag packed and ready to go with the Lord. That way you'll have that assurance that he gave us that he was going to come one day and receive his own unto himself. There we shall ever be with the Lord. Everything that you could possibly hope for is in the kingdom of God. You may be hoping for a Cadillac, but now that ain't going to be there, my friend. Don't look for that. But nevertheless, a lot of people said, I've got a mansion over in glory, gold line, silver line, gold mansion, silver line, living next door to Jesus. Some of them said, the songs come out, I'm going to wear my golden slippers up on the golden avenue. Well, there's one street, and it's pure gold. There's a river runs through it, according to the word of God. And there's 12 trees grows on each side, 12 manners of fruit each year, each month it'll bear its own fruit. And it'll be there that we'll be in the presence of God. But my friend, don't count on it being like, beam me up, Scotty, and however you thought in your mind, and you'd be wherever you think. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, according to the word of God. John seen a city coming down 1,500 square miles, four square, any way you want to look, 1,500 square. New Jerusalem coming down out of God from heaven. And it's going to be there where the old nation of Israel is today. I believe it'll be right there, but everything will be different, my friend. But if you're not prepared to go when he comes, you're not going to be able to go into that place when he comes. If you don't repent, and I don't say that you can't be saved after the rapture, but nevertheless, you're going to have to suffer some, and you're going to have to be willing to die as a testimony of Jesus Christ. So are you willing to die to the world today and receive Christ to live eternity with him? Or are you going to wait and hopefully that you're on your deathbed that you repent? Death may come in such a sudden way that you may not have the opportunity to even say, hallelujah, let alone, Lord, forgive me. But my friend, it's come time. Need to consider today, for the day is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You and I haven't got the promise of tomorrow. You need to figure out what you're going to do and where you're going to spend eternity, where you want to be. You want to be in hell, just live your old life any old way you want to. Do what you want to. The flesh requires you to do. and hell to be your destination. But it ain't going to be pleasant for you. It's going to be torment day and night without any hope. One place that calls it that if you go and pay them money and they can pray you a person, your mother, your dad, if you give them a certain amount of money every so often and they can pray you friends and loved ones out of purgatory, that's a lie out of hell and the devil's the father of it. Once you're there, you're there. There's no escape. If you're in the kingdom of God, you'll be there. Who wants to leave? But in hell, they would like to have water. But according to the rich man and Lazarus, when Jesus was telling them about, there was a rich man, he fared sumptuous and he had everything he wanted. And there was Lazarus was a man that, he was poor and rich, didn't have anything, but he just begged for the crumbs from the rich man's table, but he didn't get them. But the angel, he died and the angels buried him over in Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. But when he was come up there in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he seen a Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. He cried out, "Oh, Father Abraham, let Lazarus come and dip his finger into the water and come and touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames." No, he can't do that. There's a gulf fixed. He can't come here and you can't come back. So my friend, it's come to the time that the rubber has hit the road. You've been on the road for some time. It's about time for you to put on your brakes, stop your foolishness around, and repent. Time to find that place of repentance unto God and repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wherein that you can be saved from this wrath yet to come, because it's coming. It's going to come a day of darkness and gloominess, and it's going to come the time to wherein that it's going to be rough around the edges and all in the middle. It ain't going to be no pleasancy for them that's left behind. Or they may think that it's all, everything is peaches and cream right now, but peaches and cream will get sour on you, my friend. If you don't tend to it properly, you let it sit out and just don't take care of it. And that's the way a lot of people are doing today. They just go in their own merry way, not looking for any way to please God. They're just going on to please the self and their flesh. Reaping what the flesh desires to do, they're going to reap the corruption of this world one day and the wrath of God, because they fail to pray and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Missing out on everything that God has paid the price for your sins, that you may inherit the kingdom of God. It's the only way you can make it, my friend. There's come the time now that a lot of churches are going around now. They want to preach some easy believing stuff. My friend, I'm not in it to curse you or whatever. I'm in it to win your soul for the kingdom of God. But you're going to have to repent. I can't do it for you. But the world church said that we must give the people what they want or we will lose them, the crowd. Well, you're looking at the thing there. They preach the teaching of the ears and all this here kind of stuff there, and they tell them fables and wise tales and all to keep the crowd. My friend, I'd rather win two souls for the kingdom of God and have a whole bunch of people saying they are, but they're not. They're a big crowd. I don't have a big cathedral that I preach in. It's over the network that goes there. God made it available for me. I don't have a big crowd of thousands of people in it that gives money to me every day, but I thank God for my provisions that's been supplied by Him. I'm able to do this for the glory of God because I believe that my God is coming very soon, and I want to be prepared. I want you to be prepared and ready to go. When the Lord comes and He calls His bride home, I want you to be in a part of the bride. When we get together there, we're going to know one as we know in this world. We'll know one another. And God's going to have His church, the bride of Christ. He's going to have it there, and everything's going to be prepared, as He said. And He'll make a way for you if you'll only follow Him. He's already made a way for you to escape by repenting. You don't have to go into the pits of hell. And He won't let no more people put on you, except He's made a way of escape. My friend, He's saved us old Bacon many times there from different things. The devil tried to carry me out, but I thank God that he was stood between me and disaster many times and brought me forth. I'm not the youngest man in the world, and I'm not the oldest, but I have problems as everybody does. But I believe my God is going to come one day, and all of the things that are presently now will be done away with. And when you enter into the kingdom of God, there'll be no more sickness, no more crying, no more parting, no more death, and all these things will be there. Who would be not willing to give up the world that we could have a world wherein there'll be no more problems? If he's not, there's something wrong with him, my friend. Something wrong with a fan that thinks about that this is the only thing there's going to be. I believe that the scripture teaches that there'll be a hereafter. One way or the other, you're going to be in a hereafter. I will be too. You'll either be in the kingdom of God or be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. There's going to be two catches away of the bride of Christ, or two resurrections rather. The first resurrection will be of the dead in Christ, and them that remained alive will be caught up together with the Lord. And they'll be judged by the judgment seat of Christ, and they'll be given rewards for what they've done in this life, and they'll be in the bride of Christ to be forever with the Lord. But when it comes time that after things go along for a while, there'll be the second resurrection where death, hell, and the grave gives up the dead. And the book will be opened. They'll be judged out of the book. And another book will be opened. And if their name's not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll be cast again into the lake of fire, which is the second death, along with the devil and all of them desire to go there. The Bible teaches that hell has enlarged itself in order to accommodate all them that wants to be there, I suppose. But it was only prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. It wasn't prepared for you, but if you choose to go there, it's your choice. It's not God's choice, but it's your choice. He chose to save you from your sins. That's why he went to Calvary's cross. That's why he tells us about the things that's going to happen at, after his return. After the Bible speaks about that he will let it be taken out of the way. There's going to be trouble such as was not upon the world and since man was on the face of the earth. My friend, that's going to be after the rapture of the church or the catching away of the bride of Christ. Revelation speaks about he put in his sharp sickle and he reaped the earth and the grain. It was ready for reaping. The other angel come out with a sharp sickle and he reaped the grapes of the vine there and he cast them into the wine press of God and was trodden out the gate and where the blood run out up to the horse's bridle. My friend, that's the wrath of God upon them as sinner and ungodly that's going to be left behind. You need to pray and seek after God. Read your Bible and find out. Don't take my word for it, but God knows that I wouldn't tell you anything wrong if I knowed it. I wouldn't do that. But nevertheless, read your Bible. Find out what His has to say. In that way, no man can fool you into something other because you'll know the truth. The God is truth. The Word of God is truth. It is there for yours and my benefit. Jesus came into this world to die on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins and from the wrath of God and from eternity punishment in hell. He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. The abundant life is going to be in the kingdom of God wherein that there be no more weeping and crying, no more parting, no more death. No more sickness or hospitals or one thing or another and viruses going around. But my friend, we're looking in this world today. Look at what's happening. All the troubles that we're having to go through. All the things that are happening around. And you see that these signs are there. Signs that God has put into for you to look at and for me to see. But if you're so blind walking in darkness and you can't see, it's simply because you don't believe what the Word of God says. And if you don't believe what God says, you don't believe that there is a God, then you're doomed for hell, and that's the last subject of it. But there is a God that loved us enough that He manifested in the flesh, came in there in this world that He had created, and He died for yours and my sins. He came and preached unto the world, showed that many ways that He was God, and he even raised the dead to prove to them. But they still rejected him. When Pilate said, "What will I do with your king?" He said, "We have no king except Julius Caesar." Well, they chose a man instead of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But they're going to reap the whirlwind, my friends. They've already, those people have gone on now. Whether they fall in sin or not, I'm not their judge. I'm not your judge. But the Lord God Almighty came into this world, and he came to bring forth the promise of the fulfillment, to forgiveness of sin for the sinner and the ungodly. God, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He came to forgive us of our sins and bring us into the kingdom. But it's up to you to accept it. It's up to me to accept it. We can choose you today to whom you serve, as Joshua told the people when he was leading them into the promised land and they crossed over Jordan River there. He said, "Will you serve the God of this side, or are you going to serve the gods on the other side?" The other side meant the Egyptian gods and priests and things like that. But he was on this side, the God of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, the Jehovah God. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in that we need to understand Jesus is the only name. Other names doesn't amount to anything now. But in the New Testament time comes, when God said he would spoke to Mary and said his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. And there's no other name given among man as the apostles preached whereby that we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. Baptizing in his name is putting on Christ. You're buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life. You go down in the watery grave, forget about your sins and die to the world and rise up in the righteousness to walk in the newness of life, praising God and worshiping him in spirit and in truth, walking after the attributes of God, being one of his, whereby that you can be called the children of God. Repentance is going to be the important thing in a person's life. If he don't repent, he won't be forgiven. But if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ with a humble heart, broken spirit, and crying out to him for repentance, he'll repent. But if you don't, the wrath of God will fall on you when he comes and takes his bride out. There's going to be trouble, my friend, that's never been on earth before. It's time that we got it right. It's time that we repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you. Repent. Calling upon the name of the Lord. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, if you do, God bless you, my friend. And them that don't know him, I hope they will come to know him and that receive the blessings of God when he comes, that they be taken away with him. But my friend, those that call upon the name of the Lord and has been born again of the water and of the Spirit, they're going to meet the Lord in the clouds of glory. Them that are left behind is going to go through a much worse trouble, maybe even be spending eternity in hell. My friend, I'm not the judge of no man. I hope and pray that them was, but the Bible says that them was didn't get into the ark of when Noah's time. They were carried away in the flood. In other words, they was destroyed. Now, when the Lord comes and takes his bride out, the rapture of the church and everything, whether you have any hope after that or not, I can't say. I hope you that will be. But I'd look at it this way. The only way that you can be saved then is you'd have to die calling upon the name of the Lord. When they say, "Well, if you don't deny him, we're going to kill you." Well, go ahead and kill me, but I'm not going to deny my Savior. Like Job was. When his wife said, "Why don't you go ahead and curse God and die?" He said, "You speak as a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." It gives me an invitation there that there is hope there for them that is left behind. But my friend, it's only in Jesus' name. It's not in the world or the things of the world or the man or whatever. There's a lot of people there won't go to the churches or service and listen, their man preaches. If some evangelist comes in and the preacher wants to have him to preach, they won't go and listen, their preacher. Well, it's man-made, man's religion. Well, if you notice that, if you go back and read some history of the Church of the Council of Nicaea there in 325 A.D., you will find that all kinds of stuff come out, all kinds of denominations, all kinds of man-made religions come out of that. They either this or that. I want this, I want that. I don't want this, but I want this. My friend, it's come to the place. That's why Paul said if he come preaching another gospel or another Jesus, let him be accursed. Believe what the scripture says, my friend. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. Tomorrow may be too late. I want to say that I appreciate those that have wrote to us. I know sometimes we get several and sometimes we don't get nothing. But nevertheless, the word goes out. The warning is out. The sword's coming upon the land. And that's all I can do, my friend. I can't make you serve the Lord. But when it comes time that we're in if you don't repent, the Lord will have you there and then you'll wish you had, but nevertheless, it'd be too late then. But my friend, it's time to call upon the name of the Lord, to repent, calling upon the name of the Lord, for the day of salvation is at hand. Jesus is coming soon, and when he comes and takes his bride out, there's going to be trouble. You don't want to be here after that, my friend. So today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You may not see tomorrow. I may not see tomorrow. But blessed be the name of the Lord. If you repented and hid in Christ, you'll see the time that when we come to be with him, and it'll be a marvelous time. But if you don't be with him, it's going to be trouble that such as was never before. And then when you cast into hell, it would be the second death. There'd be no hope, my friend. Oh, my friend, let me plead with you, calling upon the name of the Lord. Call upon him today while the day is still night, for tomorrow may be too late. Repent, giving him praise and honor, accepting his blood that he shed for your sins, and give him praise today. Again, I appreciate those that have wrote to you. Write to us if you will. And God bless you and keep you there and supply your needs according to his riches and glory. You call upon him, he'll hear your prayer. Repent if you haven't, but if you have, may God bless you and keep you, my friend. One day we'll gather together in the kingdom of God. When Jesus comes, we want to be ready. Watch, look up, for the redemption draweth nigh, is even at the door. Calling upon the name of the Lord, believing that there's coming a day that he's going to appear and the bride of Christ will go with him. He'll be prepared and wait. He's made a way for the escape, and that's the escape for the things that's yet to come after he takes his bride away. We praise that God will touch your life, my friend. Write to us if you will. We appreciate them, and we thank you for the encouragement. That's my desire, to encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord and repent and miss the wrath of God. May God bless you and keep you in our prayers as we pray one and for another. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repent, the Lord's coming soon. Give him praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus, to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometime you may be in a hurry, you have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, he didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.